The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Christmas Eve, dear listeners, my sweet, sweet listeners, my sweet chunks. This is Two Chunks and a Hunk, as I'm sure you know, and I'm Jordan.
I'm Doge. Today's punchline is in the dictionary.
The punchline is in the dictionary?
In the dictionary.
I in the dictionary?
In.
It's the letter
the dictionary.
It's the letter
I in.
Him.
No, it's not. It's
him.
Not. I in the dictionary.
You caught him. It's the
and
letter
I don't
in.
Know is on third base. In the dictionary.
Where do I keep all of my spicy nudes?
Where do I go? That's funny. Where do I go? When I don't have the words.
In the I go in the dictionary. Mm-hmm. When does Christmas come before Thanksgiving? In the dictionary.
Okay.
It's holidays, guys. It's the last one I can do about Christmas for 365 whole days.
Can I tell you one of my new jokes that I heard?
Is it your name? Is it who you are? And then the
yes.
Joke?
Carter. My name's Carter.
Yeah.
So happens that very recently, the inventor of the wind chill died. He was 82 years old. You felt like he was 60.
That's actually very good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
What if that's what our podcast was? Like, hey guys, here's the joke I heard this week. And every episode is like 4 minutes long.
I really don't hear very many jokes.
Right?
Yeah,
when was the last time that somebody... When was the last time that somebody was like, can I tell you a joke?
Yeah.
When was the last time that happened?
When was the last time that happened and you were excited about it?
Yeah.
I was 6.
Yeah. I think I've said this on the podcast before. I had a joke book that I would read jokes out loud from and just sort of like test the waters. I think what I was doing on a sort of subconscious level was testing the waters to see what worked and what didn't. But what it was in practice was just a kid rattling off rapid fire pre-written jokes.
Yeah.
And just being like, essentially being
gotta
like,
start somewhere.
That one killed. No, don't do that one.
It's tracing. It's the joke equivalent of tracing. Everybody traces before they draw.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Michelangelo probably traced some
traced
stuff.
It, dude.
He traced stuff for sure.
Had to.
Had to.
Had to.
Speaking of jokes.
Heard of them?
As I always am.
As I'm always doing, have want to.
Oh. Yeah.
You know.
Are you gonna uninvite me from your tea party?
We have for you today.
You're not welcome.
On this Christmas Eve, we have found something for you. Found someone. And that someone is Mr. Christmas, if you knew this already.
Yeah, that's true.
We've been going through
not my
trying to find him. there is a claim that we have found him. We can't really change that now. It's happened. The deed is done.
Someone found him.
I mean, hey, this is the second time in the last 45 days that everybody picked somebody that I was like, I don't think I would have picked that guy.
Yeah, sure. Same.
So I'm used to it.
Yeah. We're quite familiar.
It was all building up calluses so that Mr. Christmas didn't hurt quite as much.
Yeah.
That's all it was. Oh, man. Well, now, I'm not sure that's my guy, but
I don't think that's the one I want to do this part, actually.
Guys, we just watched, was it Home for the Holidays?
Happy Holidays. Put some respect on the cinematic debut of Mr.
Happy
Christmas.
Holidays.
The Mr. Christmas cinematic universe, I would say.
Mm. Ezra. There was a moment when we were watching this, and it's the first time we see Ezra. We've given him a lovely beard.
The first time we see him,
he's very handsome. And Joss is like, oh, that's so cool. And I was like, babe. And she's like, oh, that's right. He won. She thought it was like, they just are going to have other guys who compete.
Oh, if only, dude. I was waiting for... Let's not do this right now. This is back half. What are we doing?
This is second half. We can't do that.
Why did you do this?
Because I got it mixed up. I thought it was the other way around.
You thought Speaking we were starting jokes, Mr. Christmas now?
I thought it was right now. Listen,
Carter,
I
we just talked about this like 8 minutes ago.
I missed it. Speaking of jokes... On our last episode, we looked at predictions for 2024.
I was wondering what this roundabout long walk, short drink was going on.
And now, I was like, why are you letting me lead? Don't you usually talk about these things?
Yeah.
Why are you like, Carter, go get after it? I was like, what? Okay. And then I got shocked. I got a little bit scared. I did the wrong thing.
I think the good thing about being a podcast for 7 years is that we're finally good at it.
Yeah.
That's what's cool.
We are. This is the first one that's good.
We're finally good at it.
Hey, Carter, did you know that according to podcast, you're supposed to Venmo me $750 right now? Just do it. You're supposed to. I know you don't usually, but you're supposed
That's
to.
That's what podcasts do?
Do it. That's what podcasts do. Yeah.
Okay.
Just do it. You have to do it.
Yeah, fair enough. I want to hear your 2025. Let's get back to the crystal ball. Let's take a deep look in and let me know about 2025. Can I also
is Crystalmas anything?
Nope.
The crystal ball. We visit the crystal ball every Christmas.
I think Christmas is a thing.
No, nope. Can it be?
It's kind of fun.
It'd be ours.
You can have it. It can be yours.
Yeah, I'll let you do sort of whatever you'd like with it.
One of my 2024 predictions was that, and it's so funny to look back and read it. I was like, Carter, did you really do that? I said like the next 3 or 5 years. I was like, that's not what the point was. So I'm going to this year try and keep it in 2025. But I do have to say, one of my predictions was some DC heat.
Yeah.
Well, James Gunn was getting back over to DC.
While we're talking about media that makes effective use of dogs, that trailer is fantastic.
Yeah. That's what I was getting. Superman looks good, dude.
I choked up during the trailer.
I have not had hope about that genre of movie in general, much less the cesspool that has been DC.
Yeah.
Like DC Studios, like try.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore.
During the trailer, there's two parts that happened close enough together that I was still choked up from the first, that the second one got me even worse. But Superman diving in high speed and protecting that girl from the explosion is what superheroes should be doing. And I feel like it's been a minute since superheroes and movies have saved people. I feel like we've gone to fighting rather than saving. And I like a superhero that saves. Number two, when the little kid,
Spider-Man holding that train,
raised the flag in what is clearly a war zone and was chanting for Superman. Oops.
Yeah,
oops.
Great.
Oops. Christ.
Just some old fashioned hope, dude. That's what it's all about.
It's good. World needs it.
I'm so excited for that.
I will say. That looks great.
Looks really good.
My 2025 prediction will come off of the heat of how well I already see Nosferatu doing.
Sure.
In terms of its, you know, we have talked about in Chunktober before, there sure are a lot of good horror movies. And really the most acclaimed horror movie can pretty easily be argued against it. Perhaps it's a psychological thriller that is Silence of the Lambs. Mm-hmm. But horror has not necessarily gotten its flowers, if you care, in the awards world, right? But with the likes of Eggers and many others that are just making pretty... The depth that we have in these stories, the transporting of worlds. The early stuff I've heard about Nosferatu, which by the way has in the mid 90% on Rotten Tomatoes and has been for a while from critics, is just like, hey, dude, Eggers is not trying to reinvent the wheel. He's just saying, hey, there's nothing to read here except this dude's bad. Some of these people are good. This is going to be really scary. It's really dark around here. You know, he's like just being really simple.
Good.
It reminds me of how Denis Villeneuve will just use shapes and just like, look, that's a circle. And you're like, I've never seen a circle like that. I think horror movies, off of the heat of Nosferatu, what it really takes is a really good acclaimed, like a really good acclaimed horror movie that is actually getting nominated. It's a whole process. There's like political stuff to it to even get on a ballot. Nosferatu is going to do it. And so finally, other studios might say, well, why don't we start investing in this? I don't mind a bad horror movie. It's like, I don't mind Fast and the Furious, but I also don't, I love Top Gun Maverick, you know? So like, let's just make better ones.
Right.
And I think horror is getting there. Nosferatu is not A24, but movie, we've done Midsommar. Like, how is Midsommar and Witch and, I mean, The Lighthouse kind of, but it's not. So I'm pumped for that. I think we're getting into big budget in the theaters. And then also we're going to have, you know, people flocking to wanting to be a part of this horror craze. I think it's going to be huge. I think Nosferatu is going to blow people's socks off. When's the last time we released a horror movie on Christmas Day that wasn't Krampus?
Right.
You know? Or like... Right. I don't know. I think it's so smart. I think they knew what they were doing when they were releasing, because this is one of the high times. It's like four times a year that you can make a ton of money in theaters. And I think Nosferatu is going to do something pretty special, for me at least, because I love that kind of vibe. So that's my prediction.
To set it in stone, Nosferatu is going to what? Be good? Make a lot of money?
Nosferatu in a new wave of horror? Yes, I think 2025, be it... If we're going to make more horror, because what's tough is in the production of it all, it's like, no, I don't think people are going to see it and be like, oh, we're going to release more of these in 2025, because that process takes so long. I think Nosferatu is going to get some buzz. I don't think it's going to qualify. It doesn't qualify maybe for the Oscars in February, but it's going to get enough buzz and be critically acclaimed, and people are just going to like it, that I think Nosferatu will usher in legitimate horror movies that have a little bit more than like they're going to show at your small theater. Like you got to go to an indie film spot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Horror movies going mainstream this year.
This year. Get ready.
For the first time ever, horror movies are going to be popular.
It's get ready, y'all. They're always mainstream. They're always making a lot of money. I think we're upper echelon. I think we're going to get better horror movies.
That like I like.
Better movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down for that. I have some box office related Crystalmas predictions for next year.
Great.
I believe that next year is going to, on the Disney side of things, be a year of extreme whiplash. Because I think that Captain America New World Order is not going to turn a profit.
Right.
I think that's going to have like...
You think it won't maybe turn a profit? Worst,
maybe the worst theatrical debut of the MCU thus far. I am willing to go way out on that and say, I don't think there's a person on the planet excited about this movie.
It's on Marvel, the flip side, so someone is.
Fantastic Four comes out early summer. And I think that we're going to get a trailer for that like beginning of next year. And that movie's going to make a lot of money. But I think it's going to be kind of a whiplashy MCU in, out, tons of articles, MCU's over, MCU's just getting started, all over the place. Superman's going to be good and going to make a lot of money. I think the winner of the box office next year is going to be Wicked for Good, Wicked Part 2, subtitled For Good. And I think Wicked for Good is going to make over $1 billion in the box office next year.
Wicked right now is almost at $600 million and it's been in theaters for about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. So... I like that.
My first prediction is I'm staying on my soapbox that I've been on for the last couple of months about the creative bankruptcy of Hollywood in general. And my prediction is 6 new trailers for live action remakes of beloved childhood films that nobody asked for in the year 2025. No.
There's one out there already. Moana will do it.
I'm saying from January 1st, that doesn't even count. From January 1st, amazing, we will get six new trailers. I'm not saying they'll release, but six new live action remakes of beloved childhood films that nobody wants and nobody asked for because Hollywood is a money laundering scheme, dude, for rich people now. And the one that will break everybody and will be the only one of these live action remakes that is so good that it makes people unfortunately have the confidence to keep making them. We are getting, this is my prediction and I'm allowed to say it, we are getting a live action Shrek trailer next year. They're doing Shrek 1, but live action and with updated references.
How?
Like a photorealistic donkey?
Yeah.
And you know nothing about Shrek the Ogre. Dude, I will lose my mind if this actually happens.
It's happening.
Yeah. This is not rumors you've heard, but you're just like, hey,
it's happening. It's happening. There is no property too beloved. There is no well too deep in which to dip the bucket of we have nothing new to offer. And rather than taking chances, we're just going to try and print money. Here's Shrek, the live action one.
You know what Shrektastrophe I would buy for next year is live action because Wicked did so good. We're doing Shrek the musical this time. Now it's the movie, a movie of the musical. Live action photorealism.
Yeah, sure. Maybe. I mean, I would count that like for this, I think.
But somewhere in between photorealistic Shrek and Cats.
I think I would count that for this.
Oh.
I would count something like Cats as live action, even though it is largely CGI'd. But like there's real human faces in it. So I'm calling that live action.
No buttholes, though.
Yeah, because
here's some
cowards.
Encouragement. Did you see how awful Mufasa is doing?
Good.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I hope every single one of these live action remakes is a total and complete box office bust that makes not even enough money to, I hope it only makes enough money to pay the people who didn't choose to make this movie, but had to earn their money. And everybody else has to scatter to the wind and come up with, I don't know, an original idea or something.
To
say that we're out of ideas is insane. Ideas is are the so only thing though. That is a renewable
that
resource.
That is so funny. That is ridiculous.
Everybody's just too scared.
Yes. That's how it feels. My second prediction, in a real big way, it's going to harken back to very late 90s, early 2000s hype that it had when it first came out. Harry Potter is going to be all anybody talks about. That
is
going to be
next year?
It is starting to film in the summer.
Okay.
So I think we're already seeing it. You know, we had Goldstein rumored to play Hagrid. They were looking at, I can't remember his name. Dumbledore. Love the actor. Cillian Murphy is rumored now for Voldemort, which I dig it.
Yeah.
Great. I think if anyone else is going to do it,
I mean, if we're attaching,
you know, I'm going to feel
like
a little
this.
Bit more attracted to Voldemort than maybe I have in the past.
Sure, yeah.
But
sure.
Legitimate, it won't be Voldemort. Rumors anymore. We will have legitimate, who is cast? Who are we going to have do this? To say the least, like the kids. We're going to hear who the kids
Harry
are.
Harry Potter, Guy Fieri.
Can you imagine? Mm. Guy Fieri as Harry Potter. It might
Rachel
happen.
Rachel Ray as Hermione.
This is going to last all year. Going to start real early 2025. We're going to get like the set leaks, all that kinds of stuff.
Sure.
And HBO is going to be real pumped. I think we're going to, I'm so excited for it and I can't wait, but I think it's going to not dominate the conversations over in that TV business, the movie,
sure.
the streaming business.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Easy.
What else do I think is going to happen next year?
You don't have to have another one.
You didn't come up with any?
I do need to come up with one.
I have a prediction.
Oh, yeah, go.
Stranger Things season 5 will mark the end of Netflix being considered quality television. I think that Stranger Things season 5 is going to be fine at best, and that Netflix will officially, they already have pretty much just turned into like Hallmark and CW instead of like prestige television. I think that like one or two.
Would you say their House of Cards is beginning to fall down?
Sure, yeah. I think that it really feels like they
still hold on to that boom boom.
I know.
Yep. To open it up.
Yep. It feels like they've really realized that it is way easier to just churn out like low budget TV style movies and like CW quality TV shows rather than like invest money into any good projects. I feel like Stranger Things 5 is going to be so like meh that everybody is going to stop. Anybody who is still looking to Netflix to be quality original programming is going to stop doing so.
Yeah. I'm still excited for Squid Game 2, but even then, that's just
I still haven't watched the first season.
Me neither.
Feels risky. It's really good, y'all. It's really good.
I know. I need to watch it.
Doge, I have, I'm going to ask you about 2025 and you just simply have to answer it. But I feel like of all of us, you would be the one to know. What will be the name of season 2's winner of Finding Mr. Christmas?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's going to be the name?
Garrett. I'm looking for Garrett.
Okay.
I'm looking for Garrett to come out on top.
All right, Garrett.
Are there Garretts
anymore? Garrett Johnson. Garrett Johnson.
Are there still Garretts?
Do they still make Garretts?
I thought Garretts got patched out in the last update.
There used to be a lot of Garretts. There's not that many Garretts anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I have not met
a baby Garrett.
We're in a Garrett drought. What's going on with Garretts?
What happened to Garrett?
What happened to Garrett? Hey, what happened to
Where
Garrett?
Where is Garrett?
What happened to Garrett? Dude, who moved my Garrett? I think that next year.
Do you think that's the name of the movie? Dude, who moved my car?
No. Dude, who moved my Garrett?
Do you think the name of the movie is Dude, Who Moved My Car?
No, there was a leadership book that my dad read when I was a kid called Who Moved My Cheese? And I've combined that book with Dude, Where's My Car?
It was a reference for you and you alone.
And if my dad's
I love that about
is
you,
he? Hey, is
and
he?
For pop.
Maybe, dude. I don't know.
Be honest.
Dude, how funny of that not. Was like the concept. It's like, bro, I'm pretty sure I didn't park right there.
Dude, who moved my car? Like
over there? Dude, who moved my car?
Dude, who moved my car?
You left a window down.
Dude, where did my car go?
We parked in 407, but it's in 405 right now. Who moved my car two spaces?
Dude, you're not going to believe this, but I'm pretty sure somebody moved my car.
Dude, who moved my car?
No, next year, I think we're going to see more studios being willing to greenlight higher budget projects that are not part of an ongoing franchise.
Oh, I wish, dude.
That'd be nice.
There's a new John Krasinski movie called The Fountain of Youth.
I've heard about this.
It's an upcoming American heist adventure film directed by Guy Ritchie, scheduled to be released on Apple TV Plus in 2025. But it essentially is just like, hey guys, let's make Uncharted in everything but the name. And I think we're going to see more studios because things like the MCU, especially after the release of February's Captain America movie, are not going to be the guaranteed money printers that they have been in the past.
Yeah.
I really, really hope that Fountain of Youth, is the first domino in a long string of events that are connected of studios being like, let's do stuff that's like kind of just one-off. Let's just make a cool one, make people see it, and then be like, now let's make another cool one.
You think, honestly, you think that if Fountain of Youth does well, they're not going to be scrambling for Fountain of Youth 2, 3, 4, and 5?
No, I think they are because that's happen. I mean that's the Krasinski.
But we're gonna see the place. First ones though. We're gonna get
New franchise, new thing came out.
Here's what I want so bad. I want to see the return. This is not a prediction because I don't think it will happen. I want the return of the mid-budget comedy.
Yeah.
Did I miss?
We talked about this.
I miss like give me Step Brothers, give me Superbad, give me
Pineapple
not
Express.
Those exactly. You know, update them, make them modern, but like give me the mid-budget comedy. The last few years have given us like Game Night, Booksmart. Those are great. But like, give me more of that. I want that.
I just hope that the Disney backed franchise stranglehold on the box office, where it's like to succeed, you have to basically be a Marvel or a Star Wars. I think that began to die in 2019 with the bad Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. But I really hope that it like fully dies pretty soon because I'm so tired of all the humongous franchises.
I want new ideas. I want.
Yeah.
You know. And
but even the idea of like a real fresh new DC franchise feels exciting and fresh.
Sure. Yeah. I'll take that. I suppose. I think that I'm looking for anything that feels new. Even, you know, as much as I love Blade Runner 2049 and it's a great movie, but that's a That's luck. That's Denis getting a hold of something that's already great and doing something with it. But for the most part, we've got a better chance of creating better new stuff if we start to create rather than iterate. And I would love to see creation here. Any other predictions, or can we go to shout announcements?
Let's shout it, dude.
We're gonna win an Emmy for the animated adaptation of Imagine Dungeons. They're gonna make an arcane style cartoon of it, and we're gonna all win Emmys.
Heck yeah, dude!
That would be cool. It's not, you know, that'd be cool.
That'd be great.
It'll happen, and they'll play this clip from our podcast instead of like music from the show while we're walking up to receive.
It's just gonna slow zoom on me being like, I don't think so.
It's not gonna happen.
I don't think so.
Well, it slowly turns black and white.
Wow. And then I'll get up there and I'll be like, guys, I can't believe it. Anyway, shout announcements. Merry Christmas, Eve.
Merry Christmas, Eve.
From Two Chunks, that's us, to you, that's you. We don't really have much here because we just want you to enjoy the episode and enjoy Christmas. But we do want to say, listen to Imagine Dungeons. We're very proud of it. Doge has done some stellar work on the soundtrack to the show. It's just fantastic. Our friends are great actors with great ideas and really fun characters. Our DM Gage is phenomenal and has created an incredible world and story for us to explore and for you to listen to. And also, coming at you, I believe tomorrow, don't quote me on that, is... a very special Christmas episode of Imagine Dungeons. Maybe it's already on your phone. Maybe it's on your phone tomorrow. It's a little one shot. It's a special thing. It's not
our normal characters.
Self-contained story. It's a great way to introduce people to us and to Imagine Dungeons. Or if you have still been on the fence about jumping in, jump in here. It's very stupid. I do want to say
you don't need to know
incredibly
anything.
Stupid. So
very dumb. Get in there.
Make sure you do that. Hug your loved ones and eat a lot of treats.
Eat those treats.
Bye.
Sweet treats. Bye.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
We're back in the show, and we're talking Happy Holidays, the movie that is the spawn of the TV show Finding Mr. Christmas, starring the winner of Finding Mr. Christmas, Ezra. As scruffy bearded dog guy,
Max,
and Jessica Lowndes, who is also the singer of the closing credits song. I don't know if you guys looked into that at all.
Oh,
I sure did. Yes. I sure did.
Mia, is that right? Mia?
Yep.
As Mia, the curmudgeonly reporter.
She's an articleist.
Marketing?
who has never had a pet.
An articleist.
She works. Well,
has
she
has no idea what to do. You know.
She's a goldfish. She keeps being surprised that her dog
has knees. That her dog has
and
knees.
And it's like, I have one of those guys.
Let's start.
And he's peed more than that for sure.
Yeah. Dogs pee a lot.
Than this the every morning one time in a little circle.
Let's start from the beginning, which is the best place to start, where we have Mia with her boss, who is also her best friend. And she is preparing to pitch an end of the year article series to promote tourism to Seattle
Does she work for the city of Seattle?
I mean, it seems like it.
The Seattle? They do that? They do that job? That's a job you have?
Maybe in Seattle. I don't feel like Seattle needs pub.
How?
Also, how,
most people have heard of Seattle.
How does the article going viral in Seattle?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. The article, the views are coming from inside the house.
Right, yeah. How does this help tourism? Whatever. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. What matters is she is sad and she doesn't really have anywhere to put that sadness until on her way home.
Also,
why is she walking again?
She's certainly not. She's certainly not a slob.
No,
like
she's
we
not
were
a slob.
Told that she would be in scene one when she slept with chips and ate one of those.
Okay,
chips.
I want to talk about the chips.
We could do this.
I want to talk about the chips. It's horrendous. The chips in the bed are horrendous, and in my opinion, her worst sin of the movie.
But then we get downstairs, and everything is so well put together.
Yeah, well, she can't be too slovenly, or else she's not rootable.
But she's like temporary here in Seattle is her whole thing. But her house is like immaculately decorated.
She's incredibly privileged throughout the entire thing.
Does she live on a houseboat? Because she walks by a bunch of houseboats.
It's like a boat
to get
house,
to her house.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I think she has a floating dock
okay.
for a porch. But I think her house is landlocked.
Got it.
She's a landlubber for sure.
She's a landlubber. She is incredibly privileged. She's not.
Is working for her best friend.
Cash.
Like, yeah. And other things.
But we're burying
massive
the lead
twist
here.
At the end. Go ahead.
She walks home for some reason and encounters a dog stuck in a fence way too big for this dog to be stuck in. she sets the dog free. And then the dog says, psych, I'm yours
now. You're my mom now.
You're my mom now. You saved my life.
And follows her home, and she shares with it noodles. And I do just want to say, I think the most cliche thing is Christmas movie sitting on the floor eating noodles with chopsticks. It just something about that feels very like this is very not Christmas. A Christmas person, but it's Christmas time. Even though I, as a registered Christmas person, would eat noodles with chopsticks around Christmas time. I don't think
we did that for a long time. We'd always go to a Chinese buffet. Christmas
yeah,
Eve.
Frequently ramen. Ramen is a Christmas meal for Jess and I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is when the movie gets interesting because she meets this dog.
Because there's a dog here. Well, thank God the dogs are here,
thank God the dogs are here. But let me just say this one thing. The crux, the thesis statement of this movie is partially how dare Mia attempt to surrender this dog to a shelter at Christmas time. And I want to say a few things off the bat. I don't have a dog. I do like dogs. I don't have a dislike for dogs at all. Dogs don't know that it's Christmas. That's number one. Number two, this dog is not her responsibility. She is well within her rights to try and surrender a stray dog she found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a shelter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the reaction of Ezra, Mr. Christmas, owner of the shelter, who
can't
basically is just like, you want to give me this dog? It's like,
dude,
yes, it's not her dog. She found this dog.
I like Ezra as a guy. I have I have some problems, many, almost exclusively problems with Ezra's performance in this movie.
Sure.
But they also wrote him so bad.
They
did my boy so dirty.
They
gave him a terrible script.
He has to be such a jerk.
Do you think they adjusted it for him? Because like he didn't pull off jerk, right? Like we're supposed to see some big change from he too is grumpy boy because of his past.
Mm-hmm.
And then now there's this change. And there was one point where Chelsea and I like, oh, there's a smile. It like took 45 minutes.
He did it.
To see him smile. Because I think he was so focused on like, this isn't what, no, I have to be grumpy, so I'd be mean. And it doesn't change. He has two faces, smile, not smile. I don't think we get much else.
How many more do you need though, realistically?
Bro, he's wearing the heck out of them jeans though. I'll tell you that.
His thighs are crazy.
Holy moly.
That is true.
Holy moly.
The dude looks
over
good.
Harrison Ford. There's a new Hulk in town.
There's a new Hulk in town.
The dude looks good. Let's be honest.
He looks great.
Can I give a hot take?
He looks like if Nick Miller was handsome Squidward.
What am I missing with the Harrison Ford thing? It's Lou Ferrigno. Who? What do you mean by Harrison Ford?
No, the new Hulk. I said, move out of the way, Harrison Ford. There's a new Hulk in town.
Because Harrison Ford's the new Hulk
in the new Captain America.
Red Hulk,
I think is his name.
We'll put that part in the director's cut, the special behind the scenes commentary version.
Yeah,
of this
the
episode,
part where it's like where Jordan explain all our jokes.
Well, it's the one where we go through and we have this episode playing very quietly in the background while we're explaining the jokes.
Yeah,
this is what they'll play when we get the Emmy.
Yeah,
when we win an Emmy for this episode, this is what they'll play.
Here's my hot take.
Yeah, yeah. A Pimmy.
Talk to me.
If your flavor of Hallmark, which is really where we started, was, wow, look how bad these are. This is fun.
Right.
If that's your flavor, did the perfect guy win the first Mr. Christmas? So we want a good movie?
No, I want to see.
I know. I hear what you're saying here. I think I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying, but the thing I like about Hallmark is not. I think saying "look how bad these are" is an undersell of what I like about Hallmark. What I like about Hallmark is an earnest try. And if it turns out bad, even better. But I can take a Hallmark 7 and be surprised and happy when there's an earnest try. A Hallmark 4 when there's an earnest try, even better. But a Hallmark 7 with an earnest try is a fun, good Hallmark movie. This is a Hallmark 2 with I would say nary an ounce of earnestness to be seen.
That's true.
Because I don't feel like and here's what I mean by that. Again, I feel like I keep having to preface this by saying, like, would I hang out in a bar with Ezra for an afternoon and enjoy myself?
Yeah,
yes.
100%.
Would I just sort of look at him and be like, why does God like some people better than me? Yes, of course. But an actor, he is not. And so this is not an indictment on Ezra for not giving it an earnest try, because I believe he is. This is an indictment on Hallmark for not giving the casting an earnest try, because they did not. This man is not an actor. And in this movie, he does not act. He stands and he speaks, but he simply does
how
not
much,
act.
How much do we think Hallmark learns? Is it like, hey, season 2's coming up? Maybe we don't hide the idols, so obviously maybe there's not so many idols. Maybe we don't also do this because now that person becomes invincible. Like, do they get to go in on Mr. Christmas 2 and be like, hey, let's really make sure we get a guy who can act?
Is there a way of collecting earnest, honest feedback about this, though? Because I think that the people who went into this thinking they would rate it anything higher than a 3 out of 10 are not the people with IMDb on their phones who are leaving a rating.
Listen to me. I think
the sample size is totally different.
Listen to me. I journeyed after watching this movie into the Hallmark subreddit just to see if there was any buzz about this movie.
Okay, because I looked in the review section on IMDb and people are not thrilled with Mr. Ezra's performance.
The general buzz on the subreddit is Ezra should not have won Finding Mr. Christmas and this movie suffered because of it.
Wow.
That is the general buzz on the... I can't imagine that there are more hardcore fans than people willing to go to a Hallmark subreddit or to a... And by the way, I think that us watching Finding Mr. Christmas in totality and watching this movie puts us in an upper echelon of Hallmark fans who want to see this be good.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
But I think like those fans are not the target. Like my mom, I'm sure, has watched this. She watches almost all of them every year while she's wrapping gifts. And I'm sure if I talk to her...
Will you text her and ask her and see if she gets back to you before this is over?
I'm sure if I'd ask her about the dog, she'll be like, oh yeah, the dog one. That was cute. And that's it. That's all that the target
sure
needs.
And I think that your mom and my mom alike are probably, I'll speak for my mom. I think my mom would watch this movie and go, he's handsome. And that is her only feedback about this movie.
Right.
Yeah. Big thing that I noticed is to help Ezra, because it must also be his physique. There must be something too about his physique that makes him walk so stiff.
Yeah.
But
he's got a lot of muscle.
He has so much muscle.
He's going to blast right out of those pants with those thighs.
I think the pants he went on the hike in, I was scared when he dipped down for a minute to pet the dog. And I was like, he's about to bust.
Can you name a moment in this movie where he walked with either not holding a leash or his hands not in his pockets?
I wasn't actively looking for that, but none come to mind.
It's pretty much zero.
Maybe when
it's
he
because
walked up
they're
to
like,
give
hey,
the speech that he didn't give.
Yes, he is thinking so much about what he's doing next. And you can tell. Like, that's the thing. And you bring up a good point, Jordan, when I was trying to be the devil's advocate there and be like, is a bad movie what we're looking for? But I think he's just so incapable that it does feel like you can just feel him waiting for his line. And it feels like half the time he forgot and they just kept going. Like, camera would cut back and he'd be like nod or something, or like just smile.
Did it feel like he forgot his camera? Like the thing that they hammered home in the show all the time?
Were there moments in this that you were watching where you're like, oh, that's the challenge. I saw that. Like when he's dancing.
Yes.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's why we're dancing. And then there was a moment, not scripted, when Mia tries to close the door to her apartment, her little townhome thing, and it doesn't close, it opens back up, and Ezra closes the door. And I was like, there's our improv.
Yep.
We got it. We did it. We improv. Yeah. Look at us
so
go.
So proud of him.
I do just want to say that I think I want to give out a couple awards here, if that's okay, if we can. Best actor is a tie.
Russell the dog.
Between Russell the dog and the other dog. Not the third dog that comes in later.
Luna.
Is it Luna? Russell and Luna.
No. No, no, no. No. Jules.
Yeah.
Jules.
Russell and Jules, they get best actor, but I'm going to give best human actor to best friend Boss, who was the only person delivering anything I could work with here.
Yes. Yeah.
The only person delivering anything I could work with here. I thought she was fantastic, and I would love to see her at the helm of a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. She needs to be a lead.
I think she's
my fantastic. Mom hasn't seen this one.
Okay. It's good to
she
know.
She said if it's new this year, she hasn't had a lot of time to watch him this year.
Yeah, she's busy. That's good to know, though. I also, watching this movie, the only note that I took in my phone during this movie, and I don't take notes very often during these.
Hang on. If you hear mechanical grinding, it's because I'm raising my desk to the standing position because I cannot speak about this while seated.
I do hear it. Well, the only note that I wrote down during the viewing of this movie was, and I quote, they straight up stole Hayden's story.
Oh boy.
Dude. Hey. How on earth?
Hey,
Hallmark.
Dude.
Hallmark.
Does this feel familiar to anyone?
Yes. Yes. They story got Feliz stolen? Navidadded, dude. They Feliz Navidadded Hayden.
They Feliz Navidadded Hayden.
They yoinked it.
Except that's his story that he lived.
That's his real life story. That's even worse.
Not a funny thing he made up for his dumb podcast.
Dude, how does Hayden feel? And I genuinely believe Hayden
his podcast isn't dumb. Our podcast is dumb. I was speaking of our podcast.
We're saying it was our dumb podcast.
Our dumb podcast. Blondie's is great.
Much like Ezra, and really most, they did a good job casting these boys on this show, these 10 boys. They seemed like actually of good character, almost all of them, except for I think it was Ethan that I had an issue with. But,
Gage
from Garland. Sorry.
Gage from Garland. Yeah.
Gage
from
Garland.
Should be easy to remember.
He was the
Gage
villain.
From Garland. Thank you. Hayden is a good person, it feels
yes.
like.
Yes.
How do you think he felt watching his very good friend he's made?
It's the only thing
Ezra,
I want to know.
Sit there and act like Hayden? Is that what we had? Like to have the moment to be like, you sat down here and you watched this man cry on the couch and cry in the field and cry who knows where in the kitchen about his loss and his dog and his ex and all that stuff. And then you stand there and then deliver the line that is so similar to what you heard in person.
This is crazy.
I've never seen anything like it.
Dude, it's
actually I have.
Genuinely staggering to me.
Yeah, I can't
believe this happened.
When we saw the frames that didn't have anything in them and then Biscuit, another dog's name on the toy, I could not believe it.
So in case we're not being clear, I'm not going to assume that if you're listening to this, you've watched either of the television programs we've told you about. Hayden, a contestant on Finding Mr. Christmas, mentioned several times how heartbroken he was that his dog is no longer a part of his life after going through a breakup. The central growth point for Ezra's character in this movie is that he and his dog both miss his ex-girlfriend's dog, who is no longer a part of his life because of a breakup.
Well, also, I just want to say that the reaction that Ezra's character has to Mia's dog grabbing a chew toy, something that a dog does. A dog,
you know how,
in much in the same way that dogs don't understand calendars or English, this dog does not know the propriety of touching another dog's toy. And
it's like, oh, sick toy.
And in this movie, Edward's like, get out. You've got to go.
Girl.
That's a special toy. And it's like, what are we talking about?
He doesn't.
Yeah, sorry. That was way too much emotion. I am so sorry. It's more like, you have to go. Holly,
stop. You can't be here. No. That's not a toy. That's my dog Biscuit's toy. That's even a little too much.
Tone it down for me.
Guys, there's a scene that happens, and I have to get to this point so that I don't forget, but there's a scene that happens and I bust out laughing. One of the hardest laughs I've ever had at my wife. But when Jonathan shows up, right, who does great and makes Ezra look
so bad.
Because Jonathan Bennett is a professional. He's the man.
Makes him look so bad.
He did the rope-a-dope. Do you know what the rope-a-dope is?
Sure.
Yes.
He did the rope-a-dope in the show when he was the guy getting the keys. He's like, hey, mister. And you're like, I thought Jonathan could act. And then he comes in here, dude.
Yeah.
And he gives quiver lip a little bit.
Yeah.
But he does all this stuff about the dog that he wants to get. They're so prepared to have this dog. And then Ezra's like, you're forgetting one big thing. Can you answer this question? And Jonathan's like, what? He's like, will you love this dog with all your heart and mind? Yep. And then Jonathan said, yes. And Chelsea goes, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son.
Yes.
That's so good, dude. Oh, that's so good. Just delicious.
But instead, Jonathan Bennett was like, oh, sounds good, Mr. Christmas.
Yeah.
That brings me to my next point.
Where is Melissa?
Jonathan.
Is she safe?
Is she safe?
All right?
Jonathan Bennett's character knows.
Yeah.
Jonathan Bennett's character knows who Ezra is. Jonathan Bennett's character exists outside of simply the timeline of Happy Holidays. Jonathan Bennett's character is.
He's credited. Did you see how he's credited?
No.
He's credited as Jonathan the Realm Strider.
No, shut up. He's not. I wish.
Jonathan the Allsea Realm Strider.
That is who he is, though. That is who he is, though. Jonathan Bennett's character, mark my words, will be in the next movie result of Finding Mr. Christmas and will give a similar nod, eventually leading to 5 or 6 seasons from now. The movie is all of the Mr. Chris Mai.
Is he the Nick
uniting.
Fury?
No. Jonathan Bennett's character is a Christmas villain, and they will have to unite to take him down. Yeah. Mark my words, Hallmark is jumping into the extended cinematic universe.
Dude, I wish Hallmark would make an action movie.
Of course.
Let's do an action movie. That'd be fun.
They might have it. Do they do action?
Do they?
I am and listen, I'm
Who's
about
that
to
for? Us.
We're about to hardcore. I can't believe I haven't yet gonna be unsubscribe.
Yeah. We'll unsubscribe, certainly.
Yeah.
But it seemed they had lots. They definitely have more than Christmas, obviously, but I guess they don't have an action movie.
Yeah, there's lots of
I might give it a little scroll because I think Callie and I are gonna watch a couple more Hallmark movies before we unsubscribe. I think I might wait until after Christmas Day to unsubscribe because we might
get your money's worth.
They're so short, dude. You can knock out like 5 Hallmark movies in like an afternoon if you are
80
so inclined.
Minutes. Can you believe in the 80s? That's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I think
they're
short.
I tell you, they're short. But if Doc is ever like, hey, Doge, you got 80 minutes to live, I'm throwing on a Hallmark movie.
Really,
that's gonna feel like 6 hours. Yeah.
It's like that planet. It's like that planet in Interstellar.
Oh gosh.
No, it's really just, it's just Happy Holidays, specifically, really just had no momentum at any point. Like there was just no story moment. And I've watched many a Hallmark Christmas movie that I really thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah. We've watched a lot of them and talked to you about a lot of them. And you can hear us like a lot of them.
Was the time travel one about the hotel, was that Hallmark?
Yes.
Yeah, that one rips,
brilliant.
Dude.
So
that movie on Netflix. Is so good.
It's on Netflix, A Biltmore Christmas.
Are we sure
Please watch
are
it.
Are we sure it's Hallmark?
Uh-huh.
If it's on Netflix?
Yep.
I'm double checking this. A Biltmore Christmas. I'm not seeing anything about... Wait.
It's Hallmark.
Yeah, it is Hallmark.
It's Hallmark.
Yeah, dude. A
Biltmore Christmas is so good.
Is a fantastic film.
It's great. That movie rules.
Genuinely, I loved every second of that movie for the most part. maybe most seconds of that movie I loved, but it's a fun movie. Do that more and put Hayden in it.
Yeah.
And for good measure, just where were the cameos? How much better is this movie?
Yes, for real.
If Dax and Elijah and Hayden and Blake also, and as much as I believe Hayden deserved the role, this character was written for Blake.
That's what Chelsea said.
Yeah.
I agree.
Blake is the guy who can pull off the charming. I like Ezra as a person. I want to be so clear that I would hang out with Ezra. I would admire his chiseled features. I would ask him what he did to get his beard to fill in.
And so what Ezra is, it's like going to watch Troy Bolton perform in the High School Musical, where it's like, oh, this isn't your main thing, but I like you as a guy.
Yeah. When we came out of the rain into the house, I said, it's coming off. And we did, bro. We lingered a bit too. I cannot believe his physique. His body. Yeah,
that is crazy.
Holy.
Yeah, congrats.
I tell you what, did not have a box combo for lunch like I did today.
No, certainly not. I had 5 pancakes this morning. He has never had a pancake. That's a guarantee. The dude looks amazing. And that is ultimately why he's here.
But do they have to keep putting him in Hallmark movies, or was this his first and last?
That's what I wonder.
No.
Because in my mind, if Blake or Hayden or any of these guys come in and crush it, bro, you have a job.
Yes, dude. He's in more stuff. Ezra brought nothing to this movie except eye candy, which is why he should have been the hot best friend, dude.
Yeah. Have him have the cameo. If you want him on the screen so bad, get him in here with his shirt off. Don't make him Mr. Christmas.
Right.
Did we do the topless dog pictures because of this scene in our dog movie?
I mean, that has to be part of it, certainly.
As our challenge?
I don't know.
Was there a method?
Yes.
There was no dancing. There was no skating. Like, we didn't get...
No, there was dancing.
There was solo grooving.
Yeah, because of his thing. Yeah. His friend is cool, too. She was a good actress. The redhead?
That's his sister.
That's his sister that works with him?
He calls her sis, and she calls him bro.
You didn't know that?
I heard her call him bro, but I thought that was just because they're friends.
No, dude. They're brother and sister.
Oh.
Obviously. You probably got to watch it. You want to watch again?
Yeah.
Do another episode
That'll be it. That's what
I found this box of ciders from Austin East Cider Company that was black cherry, regular apple, pineapple, and blood orange. And I had about 3 of those over the course of this movie. And by the third one, I should have loved it.
Yeah. Typically how it goes.
And yet still didn't. So if that tells you anything about the strengths of this movie.
Dang.
Just not very good. Which is a bummer because I loved every second of my experience watching Finding Mr. Christmas.
Until the end.
Until the very end.
Same. And if we get
bailed out by rich parents, it's crazy.
If anybody, we did get bailed out hard by rich parents.
Oh, hey. Also, what a crazy dark backstory for our main character.
Oh my god!
Like, I don't want to be a doctor anymore because one of my patients died and I couldn't do anything about it. Hey, that's nuts, Hallmark. That's a lot to load into this silly little dog movie.
Yeah,
wild.
That's a lot.
If anybody needs some help formulating Finding Mr. Christmas Season 2, we'd love to help.
I want to.
We've got ideas.
I want to, dude.
We've got ideas.
And it's because we like it.
We love it.
We do, yeah.
We want
to. I want to see this succeed probably as much as anybody who works there does.
We love it.
In fact, I am terrified that we don't get a season 2. I'm very scared that we hit October of next year and have heard nothing.
No, it's just radio silence.
And we get to November, nothing's coming out. And it's like, dang, they just quietly killed it. And that sucks.
If we get to that point, if we do our own point, can you guys look into your camera right now so we can make eye contact? I need you to promise me we're going to try to build our own Mr. Christmas pageant.
Yeah, sure.
And crown. There can't be no 2025 Mr. Christmas.
Maybe the best thing that could happen is a power vacuum. Yeah, maybe it's an underground, a groundswell movement for Finding Mr. Christmas.
Right. We write him in. We write in Mr.
Maybe
Christmas.
It,
and our institutions
maybe it's
fail
called
us.
Finding Mr. Christmas. Maybe it's a reality show to build the reality show.
Well, it's called Finding Mr. Christmas is Mr. Christmas. And we're on a road trip looking for Ezra.
Amazing.
With no information at all. We're just driving.
We just start driving.
We've got paper maps. We leave our phones at home. We all buy dumb phones. And then we just go.
Yeah. It's just me, my two buddies, and our jitterbug that we share to find Ezra.
This is getting dangerously close to the Doge and I's first idea for an internet show in college called The Carboys.
I need to see if I can find that.
The Carboys.
We were just going to set up a GoPro on the dashboard and what was it? We were going to, however long we drove was however long the episode was going to be.
Yeah. And because we had to do a lot of driving for our job at that point, I guess. And we were just going to drive around and basically talk to local businesses, be like, what do you do? That seems cool.
It was one of those things where it was like, we knew how bad it was going to be, but that made us laugh a lot. And we were gonna title all the episodes.
I forgot about the Carboys.
In which the Carboys blank was going to be the episode structure title for every episode of the Carboys.
Oh my God. Carboys is great. Yeah, dude.
So maybe we do pretty Carboys clever, and we pivot it into Finding.
We just do Carboys.
Finding Mr. Christmas is Mr. Christmas, where we go on a road trip across country, or maybe not. I don't know where he lives. A cross country
road trip. He's in Richardson.
He's so close.
A cross Metroplex road trip to find Ezra. Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's wrap it up here. Do we rate this? We don't rate this. It feels cruel. It feels unnecessary. We don't need to rate it. Swing and a miss, but that's okay. We'll get him next time.
That's all right.
We'll get them next time. Maybe next year they'll cast somebody whose entire story is that his house burnt down, but he saved his wife and kids and he built everything back up from zero. And the movie will be about somebody whose house burns down. And then they'll let someone else win the season instead of that guy.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be how it goes.
Yeah. What if next year's movie is about podcasters who come up with an idea for a holiday movie and it gets stolen and made by a different company?
Dude, If our idea gets stolen and then the story of our idea getting stolen gets stolen, what do we do? Do we chain ourselves to the front doors of Hallmark headquarters?
Yeah.
What if Ezra's next movie is that he gets cast in Hamilton and
that's so funny, dude.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like he was a football player in high school and would two-step
after that his movie after that is he's a reality TV contestant who gets a retinal detachment.
Yeah. And then after that, he's in a movie where he plays the guy who played Aaron Samuels hosting a reality competition to find Mr. Christmas. It's a Matryoshka doll. It's a Russian nesting doll of
it's Ezra's all the way down.
Oh, wow. And the opening credits are just Ezra opening his mouth and we zoom in and there's more Ezra's opening their mouth and there's more Ezra's opening their mouth.
More Ezra is
so cool.
To end,
I have no Ezra, but I must Ezra.
To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and what role we would like to play in this film, what we would replace sub ourselves in for someone else in this movie. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan and I would love to be the woman attempting to adopt the dog who is then told no by the shelter owner when someone tries to just give me a dog. And rather than saying, well, actually, shelter owner, you don't have jurisdiction over what I choose to do. Yes, of course, I'll take this lovely dog. She just says bye. I would do that role.
She's like, oh, okay.
I want a dog. Right. We can't give you a dog. You can have my dog. And then the shelter owner's
like,
no.
I can't.
So yeah, I'll be her.
I guess you're right.
I'll be her.
I'm Doge. I would like to be the person, I would like to be a coworker of Mia
at the tourism
at seattlearticles.com where I can just watch her not do very good at her job, but her best friend is our boss. And then she gets a really, really bad iPhone video of her dog at the park and experiences a bunch of success.
You just want to be in the break room like, I cannot believe that Mia just had that work.
All Mia did. Mia just filmed her dog at the dog park.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Oh.
Didn't hear from that guy so much. Is there only two boys in this movie? There's three boys in the movie. Ezra, her dad, and Jonathan Bennett.
Three guys only
to say Mr. Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. There's only about seven people with lines total, so
there's not many.
Does it pass the reverse Bechdel test? I want to be the kind of podcast that says stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, well, this movie doesn't seem to be very nice to the dudes.
When are they going to make a Hallmark movie for the fellas?
Where's the movies for boys, dude?
Do you think Spotify would buy our podcast if we started having that kind of content?
I think Spotify would only buy our podcast if we started having that kind of content.
I'm Carter, and we see Max's ex shows up.
Sure.
With Biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
But in Biscuit's mouth is a toy that says Nana.
That says Jules. Oh.
And then I'm her ex. I'm playing her ex.
Oh.
And so
a different one of her exes than
a different one of her exes.
Yeah.
And the rest, I mean, the rest is history. Wrap your head around it.
Obviously, yeah, we know how it goes from
Mark
there.
Comes in and
we don't
like,
even have to say
that's
it.
That's my dog. How dare you get out? How dare you? Don't you know? Doesn't your dog speak enough English to understand the nuance of this situation?
What do you mean your dog can't read? That's not his name.
Well,
what do you want? The moon?
I'll get you the moon. I almost said you can't handle the moon.
You can't handle the moon.
You think you want the moon? You can't handle the moon.
You can't handle the moon.
Mary, you can't handle the moon.
And don't call me Shirley.
Just airplane out of nowhere.
It's good. People are going to like it.
Best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.